Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Sabakaya Chakshu Unminitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Gari Yat Kripa Tamaham Bhande Shri Gurundina Tarama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Pastishade Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaitika Dadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So thank you everybody for coming here this evening. Christmas Day. But I guess the being observed by many people according to tradition. Although I heard that the Pope spoke to his flock that people should not be so overwhelmed by the glitter of Christmas. It was his midnight mass last night. I guess an attempt to try to decommercialize Christmas and try to place emphasis once again on its actual roots. For us, of course, it's an opportunity to take advantage of the day to do the same that we do any other day, which is to glorify the Lord and to chant His holy names and to hear and chant about transcendental activity of the Lord and His pure devotees, including, certainly, Lord Jesus Christ, who is among them. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized that point, that he was undoubtedly a servant of the Supreme Lord who came to introduce God consciousness and to enlighten human society. And how to approach the Supreme. All of you have come today, so I take it that that is your way of observing Christmas with us, in the way that we do it, as we said, every day. Before I begin speaking today, though, I would like to speak briefly during this last week. Our Krishna consciousness movement experienced the loss of a senior Vaishnavi, who was one of the early pioneers of the Krishna consciousness movement. And did much to assist Srila Prabhupada in establishing Krishna consciousness in the West and in India as well. Her name is Yamuna Devi Dasi. She departed. I can't remember exactly. It was during the course of the last week. I'm not sure which day it was. But it was a shock to the ISKCON Vaishnava community. And I believe we should speak a few words about her, because she is popular not only f- for Govinda Madhipurusha, the song that we sing in every one of our ISKCON temples throughout the world, and we have been ever since the album was produced. And Srila Prabhupada was so much attracted by it and he requested this song to be heard. And to be heard at the time of greeting the deities. Yeah. Welcoming the Supreme Lord. I mean, it's a tribute, obviously, to persons who sang it. That Prabhupada introduced a way of greeting the deities in our temples throughout the whole world by receiving the Lord with that song, with that chant, and specifically with her singing it. Govinda Mari Purusha Ambhajami. Whenever Yamuna used to come and visit different places where I have seen her, devotees used to ask her to speak and share some of her realizations about her early days with Srila Prabhupada, and they would always ask her, can you please chant Govinda Mari Purusha? I've been present many occasions where devotees asked her to sing that. She was she was the type of person that she was always wanted to be in the background. Very wonderful quality. Although she had so many good qualities and she had so much association with Prabhupada. I mean, she was Prabhupada's right hand in the early days, right there serving Prabhupada. And when we hear about Krishna consciousness and how it was started in England, there were six devotees, Mukunda, Janaki, Yamuna, Guru Das, and Shyamasundara and Malati. And there are different historical accounts that have been written. Mukunda Maharaj's Miracle on Second Avenue is a book I highly recommend. It was published just this year, early this year. I received an advanced copy in Mayapur. And it just so happened 2 days after I received the advanced copy, I was sick and I couldn't attend the meetings that I was in mind for. So I took advantage and I just devoured the book practically in one day. I couldn't put it down. It has a lot of those stories in that book. And then there are other books also. When the Sun Shines is another wonderful book written by my godbrother Ranchor Das, which is a historical account of how the Krishna consciousness movement began in England. And there's a lot in there about Yamuna as well. She's in the Prabhupada Lilamrita. It's mentioned many times, numerous times, especially, as I said, helping Srila Prabhupada both in England and in India. And as I was saying, although she had so many things to share, and she had so much realization from her sacrifices that she made in her life, especially in her youth, you know, serving Prabhupada and assisting him. But she always she wasn't inclined to take a front seat. And devotees used to have to preach to her that stop thinking that way. Actually, you have so much to give, and it's your duty to serve Prabhupada by sharing it. And when devotees would reason with her in that way, then she would agree to speak. In fact, I was with her earlier this year in Mumbai. Her health has been deteriorating for some time. The doctors there, she was staying in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. The doctors were treating her She had problems with very high blood pressure, many other things as well. And I came in the room to talk to her, and she said, "I don't like people serving me like this." You know, she said, "I'm just an ordinary person." And she actually, and then I was sat and talked to her for some time, then Radhanath Maharaj came into the room to talk as well, to speak to her, see how she was doing. And as soon as Radhanath Maharaj got in the room, she said, "Maharaj," she said, please, "can we do something about all the service? Look at all the things people are bringing me, you know, all the food people are cooking for me. I'm not used to this. I'm just a simple devotee. Can we kind of change? Otherwise, I feel like I'm going to have to leave. I can't stay under these circumstances." And that was Yamuna. And it's wasn't pretentious at all. I didn't see it at all as being pretentious. It was, if you talk to anybody who knows Yamuna, that's what they'll say. That was her nature. But whenever I would see her, and it was quite frequently that I would see her in India. I saw her in India, I saw her in California. I would always see her wherever there was either a festival with emphasis on kirtan or discussion about chanting. I saw her at a japa retreat in California. And she always used to, whenever we'd meet, she'd always ask me, "Please share some things about the holy name with me. Anything," Maharaj used to say. Whatever you'd like to tell me. I mean, I'm just, my life, I'm getting older, and I've realized that I don't want to waste my older years now in Krishna consciousness. The most important thing is my relationship with Prabhupada and the holy name. That was her mood. And she would always look for opportunities, although it was difficult for her to travel, to move around, she would look for opportunities wherever there was a gathering, a kirtan retreat or a japa retreat or anything with emphasis on the holy name. She was always there. And again, always in the background, just trying to absorb and to hear and to chant with the devotees. In fact, one time I remember it. It was in Mumbai. I saw her at a devotee's wedding. I had come up from Udupi to Mumbai for this wedding. She was there, sat down to say hello to her. She was again asking about chanting, share some things about chanting. She was crying. She was crying. She was thinking that this, and that's when she made that statement. She said that there's nothing more important to me now in my life than Prabhupada and the holy name of the Lord. And of course, it seems that it's not unusual that when she left, it was unexpected, but she was in her room, there was a devotee staying with her, and she had got up from bed, and she was sitting in the chair with a drop of beads in her hand. And that's how she was found, chanting, when she departed. Krishna says, "Antakali chamavima smaunam mofa kalevaram." Whoever remembers me at the time of giving up this body will attain me, of this there's no doubt. And she was sitting and chanting Krishna's name at the time of her departure. It is a great loss to our movement We always remember the epitaph that was given, he reasons ill, who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and in living try to spread the holy name around. So this is a position of a Vaishnava, that for the Vaishnavas, is their death is just simply disappearance of our Vishnu, but she's certainly gone on to continue her service to Srila Prabhupada and assisting him in expanding the glories of Krishna's holy name as she did in this life. Of this there's no doubt. There's more I could say about Yamuna, but I thought I should say something about her, considering her recent departure. So that doesn't leave me much time. I'll just simply pick a verse. Maybe I'll read Antakali Chamamli Vasmar and look for Kalibra. It's a nice verse. For Prabhupada's. Anybody remember the verse number?
8.5.
Huh?
8.5.
I know it's 8, that's all I can remember. But yes, 8.5, that's right. 8.5. Antakali. Antakali chamami vasmaran muktva kalivaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra sangsaya. Translation: and whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree. Toro Ivaso Hishnana. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, so that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Translation again. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So, there are many important points in this verse, and especially in commentary given by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying that it's very difficult to remember Krishna for one who's impure. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness and devotional service. The verse speaks about smaran, smarana, nine processes of devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, hearing, chanting, and then remembering the Lord are the first three activities, primary activities in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada stated many times that it is very difficult to remember Krishna without hearing him chanting. Many places in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna describes the characteristics of the mind as very restless. To try to control the mind is more difficult than trying to control the wind. And so much other evidence is given about the necessity to control the mind. From one who's controlled his mind is his best friend. One who fails to control the mind is his worst enemy. For one who conquers the mind, super soul is reached and he attains tranquility. For such a man, heat and cold, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, they are all the same. Krishna also concludes Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava mat bhakto. What should you do with your mind? Krishna says you should always think of me. You should worship me, offer your homages unto me. Surely you will come to me. Mind is very difficult to control. And therefore, Krishna gives in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he describes different degrees of surrender to him. Who is the most surrendered person? The most surrendered person is one who gives his mind always to Krishna. Most surrendered. One whose mind is always absorbed in him. That is Krishna is considers to be the highest platform. In fact, in the 18th chapter, when Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, and the next verse, Krishna says, savardama puritajya mam enkam saranam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me, and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And in the commentaries to that verse, by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas, he explains that when Krishna says, surrender to me, what is he referring to? What is the surrender? He says the surrender refers to the verse just that precedes it. All the components of surrender are in the manmana bhava madbhakto. That is surrender. Sometimes, of course, surrender, we hear surrender, sometimes it's a difficult concept to embrace. Almost sounds defeatist. Surrender. that scary? Surrender. When we think of surrender, we think surrender, but I can only surrender at my own pace. And that means not now. I'm not ready. And sometimes when circumstances put that surrender into focus, either by forceful preaching of another or by some difficulty that befalls us, and an immediate decision that's required to be made, forced upon us without expectation, we become fearful when we hear that surrender. We can surrender in a moment, like Katvanga Maharaj, when he heard about his death, immediately when he heard that he was, that immediately, right at that second, just surrendered to Krishna and achieved all perfection. Who can take a moment? It can take millions of births. So, it's usually perceived as an unpleasant event of being forced to surrender. Of course, Krishna therefore gives us a choice to voluntarily surrender, which is superior. That's bhakti. This forced surrender, but then for one who voluntarily surrenders to Krishna, that is characteristic of devotional service, that I've chosen to surrender. Right. And therefore Krishna becomes very indebted, very pleased, very favorably disposed to that person who voluntarily made a choice that I could have had this for my own personal benefit, but I chose to do it because it was most pleasing for Krishna. It's a way to become very dear to Krishna. And therefore, what is Krishna saying when he says, surrender to me? He says, just think of me. He considers that, as we said in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he considers that surrender to always absorb, have one's mind absorbed in him, to be the highest platform of surrender. Just to think of him. To remember him. To consider his wishes, his desires, which are ultimately for our benefit. First, a priority. An example that is given is that when we do something that pleases Krishna, Krishna that doesn't derive any benefit from it, we benefit from it. Just like the person who decorates his face or her face in the mirror. A person decorates face, the reflection's automatically decorated. You don't have to decorate, start with your face and then go to the reflection. So Prahlad Maharaj uses the example that when you think of Krishna, automatically you're benefited. And what is this surrender? Krishna says, think of me. Consider what would be pleasing to me. What would make me happy? Devotees who are prepared to sacrifice and to surrender in this way, by giving their mind and absorbed in thoughts of him, they actually achieve a state of transcendence that enables them to actually, without any extraneous endeavor, to detach themselves. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. In the Bhagavatam it says that by rendering devotional service to the Supreme Lord, automatically one acquires knowledge and detachment from this world. Without any extraneous effort, detachment automatically comes by becoming attached to Krishna, because it's our natural state of being. So it's not that it's a fearful state, a fearful endeavor, a fearful outcome, a fearful consequence that will come by remembering Krishna. It actually, the result is, as described in the Bhagavatam, Madashriya Kata Mishta Shinvanti Katayanticha, that engaged always in the thoughts of hearing and chanting and remembering about me, my devotees won't suffer from material miseries because they're always filled with my thoughts and thoughts of activities of my pastimes in this world. That is Lord Kapila speaking to Devahuti. He states, if you always absorb the thoughts of me, you don't suffer. You're equipoised in happiness and distress. You transcend the dualities of this world because you see everything connected to Krishna. And therefore, the consequences of the dualities of this world immediately dissipate. The benefit of always remembering Krishna. But Krishna states in the 12th chapter, as we said, that if you can't fix your mind upon me without deviation, ata chittang samatatum nat shaknosi mayastiram abhyasi yogena tato mami chaptam dananjaya. He says, my dear Arjuna, if you can't fix your mind upon me always without deviation, then what's the next level of surrender? Then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga. In this way you'll develop a desire to attain me. So Krishna understands that not everybody's going to be able to give their minds continuously 24 hours a day to remembering him. So therefore he says, if you can't do that, okay, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga. So what are the regular principles of bhakti yoga? That means give some time every day for remembering me. That's the regular principles of bhakti yoga. Like we said before, today's Christmas, sometimes it's a special day for those who for Christians, they're remembering Jesus Christ, remembering his teachings, hopefully, besides watching basketball games and football games and getting intoxicated. I mean, I think, as I mentioned in the beginning, that was the Pope's message. Don't become overwhelmed by the glitter of Christmas and don't forget the essence. So that's one day, but as I explained, but for a Vaishnava, it's supposed to be every day. And that's what Krishna is saying, every day. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. For one who's not practiced in Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult for the impure soul to remember Krishna at the time of death. It's not just all of a sudden there's a lightning bolt and Krishna reaches down and says, all right. One actually has to want to be with Krishna. One actually has to be praying to Krishna, please protect me from this dualities of the material world. Protect me from selfish, sinful desires. Protect me from the allurements of material nature. Protect me. Not by protecting this body, but protect me because I can't do it without your help. You are my source of strength. You are my source of inspiration. And this is remembering Krishna every day, praying like this, chanting Hare Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada says, if one wants to achieve success at the end of life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. First, it means every day. And what does it mean? Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Toro Ivasa Hishnana. As Lord Chaitanya has given in Sikshastika prayers, Trinadapi Sunichana, Toro Iva Sahishnana, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. But one can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself to be lower than a straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In this state of mind, one can constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. One should be as tolerant as a tree. A tree may be drying up, but never asks anybody for water. And this is what it means to be tolerant as a tree. Someone may cut the tree, but the tree will never complain. Tolerant as a tree. So one can be so tolerant only. One can certainly be tolerant to the dualities of this world and to the tests of this world. But one is helped by Krishna when one calls out Krishna's name in this way, every day. And for such a person who practices this every day, then it becomes easier to achieve the success which is described in this verse of attaining Krishna's nature. Of this there is no doubt. So we quoted this verse in reference to our dear God sister, as we explained in the beginning for those who came a little bit later, that certainly she was successful. She was chanting the holy name of the Lord, undoubtedly. And she was very dedicated to the holy name, not only in chanting it herself, but in assisting Srila Prabhupada in expanding the glories of the holy name of the Lord. This is a life full in Krishna consciousness. And we always lament the loss of such a great soul. I think it's time for aarti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.